In the name of the holy and undivided Trinity.
Amen. Amen.
The feeding of the multitudes in today's gospel is the only miracle of Jesus's, besides the accounts of his resurrection, that is contained in all four gospels. Now, each of the gospels contains such a range of perspectives, and all of them are addressed to different audiences and contexts, and yet they all include this account. So it must have made a profound impact upon the Christian community that surrounded Jesus. And this points to something foundational about who Jesus is and how he operates by a different logic that constantly disrupts his disciples' expectations. Jesus' reputation as a teacher, and especially as a healer, meant that more and more people sought him out. And in this particular case, people follow him all over the countryside in search of healing. And when women and men and children were all accounted for, Jesus and the disciples were being confronted with somewhere around 10,000 hungry people or more. So just to give you a visual of that, this would be like the Staples Center being two-thirds full of people, all of whom wanted something from you. So the disciples' suggestion is the obvious pragmatic one, even the compassionate one. Send the crowds away to buy food. It's realistic in some ways in terms of addressing a need that's obviously beyond the disciples and in their minds beyond Jesus. But Jesus' response to the disciples perplexes them. I'd be perplexed too. You give them something to eat, and I would probably look down at my hands, as I can imagine them doing, and looking out at the crowd and wanting to turn to Jesus and say, what? Jesus, who do you think we are, and where do you think this is coming from? The limits are obvious. What are they supposed to do? And then Jesus says, bring the loaves and the fish here to me. And once he gets his hands on the food, he looks up to heaven and he takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it back to the disciples to feed the crowds. Do those words sound at all familiar to some of us at all? That series of actions? I'll get back to that. But if it sounds familiar, it's because we hear these words every Sunday connected to the Eucharist. And so the disciples are able to feed the crowds, and there's not just a few crumbs, but there's more than enough. And the disciples enter into this experience. And I wonder how that changed them, that it then shows up in all four Gospels. I wonder how that changed their worldview and how they walked through life when confronted with things that seemed impossible. This passage carries so much symbolic weight as well. To the Gospel of Matthew's audience, it would have really reminded them of the Exodus story of God providing manna in the wilderness to the Israelite people. Like the disciples, the Israelites were also in a place of perplexity and despair, wondering where provision was going to come from. And God provides manna, in Hebrew meaning, what is this? What is it? That they have to gather almost every day. And as they do, they have to work out this deeper relationship of trust with God. The disciples are experiencing something akin to this. They have to enter into this situation where they don't know how it's going to turn out, faced with overwhelming odds, and they discover as they enter into it with Jesus that different things happen than they feared. One of the things that this gospel account highlights is the direction in which different people are looking. Notice the direction where folks look. When Jesus tells the disciples to feed the crowd, they turn their eyes outwards to this mass of hungry people, and then they look down at what they're holding, which isn't much. And Jesus, not leaving them stranded in that place, actually does something totally different. And he invites them to hand it to him. And so he turns their attention to him rather than looking out at the overwhelming situation. You see, the disciples are standing at a pivot point. On one side are people in extreme need, and on the other is Jesus. And this is the point where Jesus shifts them to look at him. And then he takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to his disciples. And he assumes the role of the host at a banquet who has invited his guests to sit down so that he can serve them a meal. And this language reminds us of the Eucharist, like the language that Jesus uses at the Last Supper with the disciples. And these words are ones that very much consciously or unconsciously we absorb every Sunday. These actions are central to the disciples' understanding of who Jesus is as one who feeds and heals and provides. And after Jesus' death, when the disciples are on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus appears to them and they finally recognize him through these gestures. When he takes bread, breaks it, blesses it, and gives it, that's when their eyes are opened. The provision that Jesus offers, these gestures, they are how the disciples recognize who he is for them. Because Jesus' multiplication of the loaves and fish changes how the disciples understand him. They have followed him into unfamiliar places and situations before. They've seen him heal people. But at this minute, Jesus demonstrates something new. And he situates himself as the one who welcomes all to his table, meeting them abundantly in their place of need in a way that can only be miraculous, divine provision. And he teaches the disciples to first look to him, entrusting him with what they have, no matter how meager it is, no matter how much they think it's not enough. That needs to be their starting point, rather than staring out into the crowd overwhelmed. And this is the lesson that he challenges us to learn as well. We are called to learn and relearn to start from a place of trust. And that's not easy. And that's not something we learn only one time. And like the disciples, it's something that we keep having to discover and rediscover as the circumstances of our life change and change again, because we forget. And Jesus stands in places where we don't know how to move forward and invites us to a banquet where we are empowered by Jesus to serve others and to be met in our needs. Now, I don't know what your wilderness places are or where you find yourself in relation to an invitation to grow in trusting God. Language of trust can get thrown around and it can seem kind of simplistic or naive in the face of stories and challenges we carry. And the challenge to trust is really about starting points, where we look and what we remember when we are faced with something overwhelming. As much as I wish it were otherwise, learning to trust Jesus in this way is real-time learning. And like the Israelites gathering manna in the wilderness, like the disciples passing out bread from their baskets, like the words that we pray every Sunday in the Lord's Prayer to give us this day our daily bread, it's an incremental, gradual process that we rediscover over and over again, and we're never done with it. And we're in good company with that. As we travel through life, we are faced with ample opportunities to learn, to bring whatever our loaves and fishes are to Jesus before looking out at whatever our crowd is. When I am faced with overwhelming circumstances, I don't do that. I usually go into problem-solving mode. How can I fix this? How can I deal with this? How much savings do I have? How can I weather this? And like the disciples, we can come up with some reasonable solutions that seem very pragmatic and logical and sound. And we can do a pretty good job of assessing things. Where we tend to go off is when we stop there and think that our resources are the end of the story. We can make decisions out of a worldview that acts like Jesus is an afterthought. And what Jesus is inviting us to do, as he did with his disciples so long ago, is to bring our meager offerings to him first, and then see what happens. And to do that and allow Jesus to reframe and speak into our situations without trying to figure it all out first. And we learn what it is to travel through life with his presence as our central influence when we do this. We learn to step into situations knowing that Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, is more powerful than the realities of what we have or don't have. We allow Jesus to stand in the middle of situations that feel impossible and be the host, the one who takes what we have and transforms it and gives us hope and empowers us to give what he has provided to others. This is something that we learn over and over again on our spiritual journeys, and Jesus is always ready to meet us as the good host of the banquet who stands with us in need and calls us to transform our vision as we seek his face. Amen.